like Grandpa's BBQShop.com. Right now, it's 67.
99.7 Max FM.
We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning, church. Welcome. It is good to be together on this lovely Sunday morning. A few announcements before we get started. We have next Sunday after church an ice cream social, which will be fun. So please come, please stay, have some ice cream with us. We'll have all kinds of toppings. It'll be good. And if you know anyone who likes ice cream, they're welcome too. Let's see. Christy was our greeter this morning. Ann Herm is our liturgist. Radio sponsor we don't have this morning. We do have some upcoming dates, and if anyone is interested in sponsoring a radio broadcast, that's $90 a week. We do have a number of very faithful radio listeners. And Barb and Christy are doing our coffee fellowship this morning, too. They've got some good stuff out there. It's So here our first UCC welcome statement. Come to me, Jesus said, all who are weary. First UCC Sauk City is an open and affirming congregation. This is what everyone is welcome means to us. Whoever you are, whatever your story, however you identify, whomever you love, we would value your friendship and welcome you into our community. Every part of you is precious to God, and all of who you are is welcome at First UCC. So come to worship and be nourished by bread and cup at Jesus' table. Stay to serve Sauk City and beyond. We look forward to getting acquainted. Now let's take a few moments of silence to come into this holy time and this space. Any worries, any frantic busyness you had this morning, let it go. Be here now.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. God of grace and peace, give us perspective on our national problems in light of the gospel of the kingdom of God.
Give us grace and peace.
Grant that we may have the heart of Martha, understanding our responsibility and calling to peacemaking. Grant that we may have the heart of Mary, understanding that the presence of Jesus in our midst is the most important thing to seek. Grant that we may have patience with the mess we are in, understanding that transformation is a process. Jesus, we invite you among us now. We say to the worried and distracted,
the kingdom of God is at hand.
We say to the spiritually hungry,
the kingdom of God is near.
May we know the treasure of the presence of Christ.
The peace of the presence of God.
God among us.
God with us.
And may we set our distractions aside, making space to hear your voice, and only then setting about our work to be the hands and feet of Christ in a worried world. Amen. Our first hymn is number 742 in the New Century Hymnal, Gathered Here.
Please join me in our prayer of unburdening. Christ Jesus, so often we think that we are too busy, too responsible to set down our cares and sit at your feet. So often we are too preoccupied for contemplation, too burdened for love. We feel the weight of our world and miss the miracles happening around us. In the midst of all that is pressing, some moments are beautiful. In the overwhelm, these moments will carry us through. Help us to pause. We need to pause. Help us to listen when we should be listening. Help us to love always. Hear this assurance of God's grace, God's love. In this moment, you are beloved. In this moment, too, you are beloved. The divine is right here, right next to us, within us all the time. Love is here, and this will always be true, for which we all say,
thanks be to God.
Let us pass the peace with each other. Use whatever words are comfortable. Some people like to hug, some don't. That's okay. And if you'd like to stay in your seat, that's all right too.
Thank you.
know it's our time for kids. Does Cole want to come up? It's okay if he doesn't.
Never too early.
Yes? Hi. Is this going to be okay with you? Oh, hello. Good morning. You can talk right into my microphone there. Hi. Oh, it's so good to have you. We're going to talk about Bible and good and all kinds of things today. I'm glad you're here. Holy God, bless this child. Bless all the kids in our lives, in our hearts, in our church. I think my microphone might be covered up. That's okay. Bless all the children that we love. May they grow in wisdom and in peace, in love of you, love of themselves, love of their neighbors. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to give you back to Grandma. Here you go. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I have babies chew on my hair before. Also puppies.
This morning's First Testament lesson is from Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 10. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set them before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." This ends the reading.
And our gospel this morning is from Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asks, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better path, which will not be taken from her." Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. The sound of babies in church is a good sound. Yeah. Prince, we have all had company, right? And sometimes, maybe it's just me, we make it a little bit less fun by running around and making sure that the fridge is stocked and that we have the nice matching guest towels and that there are still plates and cleaning every single thing. That was Martha. And Mary sat at Jesus' feet listening to him and enjoying his presence and appreciating their time together. I love this little story. Naturally, Martha was annoyed with her sister, so she went to Jesus and complained and asked him, "Tell Mary to help me with this. Jesus, come on." What the hell, Jesus? And he said, "Oh, Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen a good thing and I won't take it from her." Now, Martha was a dear friend whom he loved. I can imagine the affection in his voice with which he said this. Now, in theology, these two sisters have been seen as paradigms for the active life and the contemplative lives. And it's been holier to be seen as Mary. I read an article, or there's a book called Being Mary in a Martha World. There are multiple books and articles called something like that. But I don't think that's quite what Jesus is saying here. Jesus himself was active, right? We just heard the Good Samaritan story. Go and do likewise. He ended the Good Samaritan story. Go and do. He emphasized over and over, especially in this gospel of Luke, how important it is to help and care for others. Love is active. It's not just thoughts and prayers. It is thoughts and prayers and work. It is contemplative and active. So it's hard to believe that he is condemning Martha here for being an activist. So what is he telling Martha? What is he telling us? It's not that service isn't important. Service is so important. It's what makes a Christian, doing as Jesus said, feeding the hungry, setting free the oppressed, caring for the widows and orphans or whoever has need. It is being a neighbor. But he's given a clue already just in this short four lines where his priorities are. In the sentence right before, he says, Martha was distracted by her many tasks. In the Greek, it means pulled in all sorts of directions, to be absorbed, pulled in too many directions. Martha was frantic. She was pulled in so many directions, it didn't register that the time to make sure that the bathroom was clean, that had already passed, or it was in the future. It was not right then when Jesus was sitting there. I think what he is telling Martha is she's so distracted by the work, the tasks to be done, that she has forgotten why she is doing it. She's doing it because she wants to honor him and to care for him. And he's sitting right there. And she's too busy. Now, that's something that's very real, right? Probably most of us have done something similar. In our current social and cultural climate, I think we all have some amount of PTSD. PTSD is trauma-induced, and it is in our bodies telling us we are in danger even when it's not true right at this moment. Most of us are kind of constantly flooded with flight or fight or freeze hormones. I know I am. It may have something to do with how in the first thing in the morning I reach for my phone to see what's happened. Dreading, but also wanting to know what terrible thing is in the news. PTSD is when our fear response is triggering at the wrong time. Now, this cortisol response, this trigger, it's super useful if we are being chased by a saber-toothed tiger or a herd of buffalo are stampeding. We need that kick of hormones to get us to run fast, to move. Those chemicals help us. And when we are constantly carrying around the worry about climate change and white nationalism and that we have to say that Nazis are bad, we're kind of constantly in this state, fight or flight or freeze, filled with these chemicals that tell us we have to be alert, we have to be on edge. It's supposed to help us out when quick response is needed. There's a herd of stampeding buffalo coming. It's not supposed to be flooding us all the time. I think many people in this congregation have low-level depression, maybe not low-level, because of the state of the world, and I do too. There is pain and trauma in the world, and we want to do something. I want to do something, and it is frustrating that I can't do more, because I really want to be Martha, and I want to fix. Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message translation, many of you have heard, he has a book called Busy Pastor. And he mentions this story, and I think he's unfair to Martha. He says, if there is no time to nurture these essentials, prayer, contemplation, I become a busy pastor, harassed and anxious, a whining, compulsive Martha, instead of a contemplative Mary. That prayer, that contemplation, that meditation time, that is soul feeding. Without it, I have less compassion. Small things get to me more. Big things seem more overwhelming. And it can be hard to get that contemplative time, right? Because there's a lot to do. Always. We have a lot to do. We're worried about many things and pulled in many directions. And the soul feeding time, it's easy to bump because it can wait till later. Unlike a phone call or a visit or a deadline, for example, you have to get your order of worship finished. And that soul-feeding time is what makes us whole people. It's easy to lose the why and the who in all the what and when and where. It can be difficult to pay attention to one thing, as Mary did. Buddhists talk about the monkey mind. Comparing our minds to monkeys, like at the zoo. They are jumping around and they are screeching and they are swinging from one thing to another and sometimes they throw a little poop. That's what they do. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes focus to pay attention, to be with somebody you love, to watch the sunrise, to look at the stars, to chop vegetables and just be chopping vegetables and not have the TV on and your phone there and maybe a conversation in the background. Some of you have heard me talk about multitasking, and I have said it is not a real thing. It's just doing multiple things poorly. The artist Georgia O'Keeffe explained her flowers, her flower paintings, by saying, in a way, nobody sees a flower really. It is so small. We haven't time, and it takes time. Like to have a friend takes time. We always have so many things vying for our attention. Things we have to do for work, for school, what's for dinner, the errands that we have to run, the wounds that we carry, our calendars and agendas and our phones beeping at us. And how many beautiful moments of grace do we miss? Because we were, like Martha, so focused on what had to be done, so pulled in the different directions by the dishes and the food prep and the tasks and the to-do lists. Not that these aren't important, they are. But Jesus was right there. He was right there, and instead of being with him, she was doing housework. Instead of rejoicing at this time that they had together, she was complaining about her sister. I mean, I have siblings, I get that. But Jesus was right there. There's a lot of research on mindfulness for physical and emotional and spiritual health. Whoops. Benefits of mindful practice include reduced stress and anxiety, pain relief, improving memory, reducing reactivity to negative emotions. It's better for our relationships if we spend some time on mindfulness. It's better for our immune systems if we spend some time on mindfulness. It's the only effective treatment for PTSD. And that's why Mary had the greatest part here. She sat at Jesus' feet as if that moment really mattered. Martha's preparations and hustle and bustle, they were important, but she didn't stay in that moment. She was looking around and frustrated and thinking about so many things to do that with Jesus sitting right there, she was resenting her sister and complaining to him. She doesn't even ask for help. She complains to Jesus. And he told her she was too distracted, too busy. It made her unable to enjoy the moment. There wasn't that much time left with him. So Luke lifts up Mary's response and her ability to focus on just one thing. Jesus says there is need for only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part. One thing. Mary has chosen one. Martha is all over the place. Cynthia Bourgeault, who's a writer that I like a lot. Many of you have heard of her. She's a part of Richard Rohr's friendship group. She has a book called The Meaning of Mary Magdalene. And she talks about Jesus, says that he was given a title in Aramaic by many of his followers. Ihidaya. There's going to be a test later. It meant Jesus, the whole, the single, the unified one. His early initiates, early Christians, according to this tradition, were called Ihidayes, the unified ones, because they were not pulled in all the directions. They were unified. One thing. One thing. Jesus is the one thing. Relationship with God, with neighbor, is the one thing. Not pulled in all the directions, on high alert all the time. The Gospel of Thomas, non-canonical. Jesus says, when you are able to make two become one, the inside like the outside, and the outside like the inside, then you shall enter into the kingdom of God. And the inside is like the outside, when all are like one. By focusing on one thing. So the best response to Jesus in this lovely little four-line story is not about becoming an allegorical Mary instead of an allegorical Martha, being a busy person or a still person or a contemplative person or an activist. It's being able to hold them together, to weave prayer and awareness of God throughout our actions. A healthy Christian spirituality values both of these sisters, as Jesus did, loved them both. It's a false choice, and we make a lot of those false dichotomies, to embrace one and say the other. What is needed by us as individuals, by our communities, by this whole world, is a heart that can reconcile opposites, intention, that can help us embrace contemplation and activism. Contemplatives can be activists, and activists can pray without ceasing. An integrated spiritual life with both. And neither of them is watching TV all evening or playing games on their phone or whatever we do to waste time. Contemplation is, in its way, activist. In a world that needs a lot of healing, we have to start with ourselves and our communities. If you've heard this quote from the Talmud, Jewish wisdom, do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justice now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it. So he asks us to listen, to really listen to him, to do what he asks, to prioritize him, to contemplate his words and put them into action in our lives. He says, one who follows him is who hears what he says and does that. Soak up the wisdom and then go and do. Hear and think and experience utter self-giving, unconditional love from God. And then go and do likewise. Learn and think and be busy, but not so busy that we forget about living our lives moment by moment as if each moment matters, because it does. This world needs more understanding, more love. So sit at his feet for a while. Soak it in, and then get busy. And then sit some more. One needful thing at a time. Amen. Now I need to pick these up. And our hymn this morning is one of our new words to an old tune songs. This is called When Jesus Went to Bethany. The words are here. They're on the next slide. They're here. And the tune, what is the tune? Okay, yes. All praise to thee, my God and King. Thank you. Thank you. That was pretty good. And now we have time to share prayers with God who knows and loves us in all things. Are there prayers to share this morning?
I are asking for prayers for our 16-year-old grandchild. He was taken to the UW Children's Hospital on Tuesday and diagnosed with chronic myeloid leukemia. He's doing very well, and we're hoping that he can come home tomorrow.
Certainly not the gravity of what Kathy just said, but I've been reminded too many times over the last few days of, if you remember the comedy show Taxi, and when Jim was going to get his driver's license, and Jim was somewhat slow in responding to things because of his past, he kept asking himself, what does yellow mean? His friends finally got him to realize that yellow means to slow down. I think that is a cautionary tale tied to what Pastor Jennifer was talking to us about today. There's been so many accidents in the last few years, but relatively in the last few weeks, and even a very grave one on Friday, where people just need to slow down and take care of matters at hand and follow what Jesus wanted Mary to do rather than what Martha was trying to do. Take a breath, slow down, be safe, and try not to do so many things at once, as, again, my finger will testify.
Thank you.
prayers for our members that are in nursing homes and homebound. They're not forgotten. We always think of them. And prayers for, continued prayers for Rod and Carol Hanberger, who both are dealing with heart issues.
I would just like to thank Jack Akala for doing the doors for us in a real short notice and did an awesome job. And I just want him to know that many people have told me how nice they look. So thanks, Jack.
Affected by natural disasters. Lord, hear our prayers.
And let's take a few moments of silence for the prayers that we hold in our hearts. Holy God, we pray for all of our church folks who are in nursing homes, who are homebound. Know that they are part of this community. They are beloved by you and by us. We pray for Rod and for Carol. We pray for all those who've been affected by accidents. We pray that people will slow down, do one thing at a time, especially when that thing is driving. We pray for Denny's continued healing. And holy God, we pray for Kathy and Larry's grandchild. Pray for their family. We pray for healing and for wellness, for responsiveness to treatment. We pray for all the caregivers. And holy God, we give thanks for beautiful church, beautiful new doors. We give thanks for babies. We give thanks for music. Holy God, hear all these prayers and the prayers that we hold in our hearts. And please join me in praying as Jesus taught us. Use whatever words are comfortable for you. Father, Mother, who is in heaven, hallowed is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. And God invites us to share from our many, many blessings to build this community of contemplation and action, of radical hospitality.
Let us pray. We dedicate our offerings to our community works and our contemplation, O steadfast hope. May our care for one another and our spiritual practice expand out in the world, weaving wise and expansive ways of love. Amen. May sit. Jesus himself walked, healed, taught in big groups, in small groups. He sat at tables. He broke bread and shared food. He went off by himself to pray. He prayed with others, a life of action and contemplation. And that is what he left for his followers. On his last night, the night he was betrayed, he took bread. He broke the bread. And he said, "This is my body. Eat and remember me. Remember what I taught. Remember what I told you about following. The ones who hear what I say and do that are those who love me." He took a cup of wine, poured the wine, and blessed it, saying, "This is my blood. It is shed for you. Drink and remember. Remember who you are. Remember whose you are. Remember your mission in this world. Holy Spirit, pour out your gifts on this bread, this cup. May they be for us bread of life and cup of love. May they feed us for the action and contemplation we need in this world, we need in our own lives. In your name we pray. Amen." Let us pray. Jesus, our brother, our friend, our Savior, our teacher, we thank you for this welcome at your table, this chance to be fed, our bodies, our minds, our spirits, our hearts.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo, W279 EG Reedsburg. This is 99.7 FM Baraboo, 103.7 FM Reedsburg, AM 740, and streaming live everywhere. Take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.